So what happened on the September 7th? First of all, the indices are looking like the NASDAQ just turned positive. That's huge. I didn't think it was going to. The S&P's positive. The Dow way off its lows, still a negative, but only down a 16th of or an eighth of 1%. So we'll see where it ends up. We did get job numbers out this morning. 201,000 private sector jobs added to this economy. The unemployment rate stayed 3.9%. So amazing numbers. But the big number, the most impressive number of all is that we got a great job numbers, right? 201,000. But wages, both hourly wages went up 10 cents an hour. That's good. I mean, that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's great. We had wages on an annual basis are now up 2.9%. Now, the last time we saw an annualized increase in wages of 2.9% was in June of 2009 in the heart of the recession. Now, that was meaningless because we had been clobbered for years before that. This is somewhat meaningless because we've been clobbered for the years leading up to this. But here we go with a trajectory in the right direction. Black unemployment hit the second lowest level in history. At this rate, next month, it's going to be the lowest rate in history. So right now, it's the second lowest in history. It's interesting because oftentimes that's a demographic that's depicted as a demographic that despises this president. The president doesn't care about that. The president only cares about putting that sector of the population, like every other sector of the population, to work, period. Because inevitably, that's good for the economy. This is just another number, or I should say number, a set of numbers that is driving liberals out of their mind. I mean, it is. It's driving them out of their mind. They don't know what to do. They continue to try to push deception and distractions through that deception to this absolutely, desperate position that they're in to try to take everybody's mind off the economy. Mainstream media is not reporting any of this. So they used to, going back, several months, they used to just look for specific things that they could put a negative spin on. Well, they finally realized that doing that, they were making fools of themselves, number one, because even the average Joe knew they were putting spin on it. And there was also, out of all the numbers that might come out in any given month, there was always a bad number that they could pick on. There hasn't been any. I mean, it's really amazing. It's not. I'm never going to see it again. I know that. But I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of you young people that are alive today aren't going to ever see this again. I mean, it's just amazing. And it's clicking on every cylinder. Now, I've said this over and over again. John, our producer, said to me earlier, he says, I think President Trump must be listening to you because last night he was talking about the rally, how much he talked about the economic numbers. Maybe he's listening to all our listeners that have written or sent emails that I asked to do a couple of weeks ago to the president. This president has the opportunity to be the greatest president ever, one of the greatest from an economic perspective. He has an opportunity to build America and make America single-handedly has that opportunity that no other president has had or maybe has taken advantage of. He's already well on his way to doing that. All he has to do, it's so simple, is stick to the issues, always listen to himself before he says something to see if it seems presidential, to talk about the facts of his accomplishments, not him, not me, not I, but look, and he doesn't do that half as much as Obama did, but nonetheless, stick to the facts. Stick to the, you know, praising what is happening in this economy and how good it's going to be. Talk about the things that he needs to talk about, like lowering the deficit. Talk about what's going to come in the future. Talking about how, and he is doing this, how important it is that we elect like-minded people to the Senate and to the Congress so that we continue this pro-growth agenda. He needs to be pounding on the facts, ignoring every fake news piece out there, ignoring everything that the media, mainstream media, is talking about it. I don't mean not talk. I mean ignore it. Don't bring it up under any circumstance and give rise and fame and credibility to the very things that they're talking about. He's got to stop doing it. He's just got to stick to vote your pocketbook. He's got to stick to it because we need, if he can get reelected in another 2 years, holy mackerel, look out, because we're going to be on a trajectory that nobody's ever going to catch. But he's got to stick to those things. He's got to talk to about these things. When we look at what's happened, I mean, first-time unemployment claims, the lowest it's been since December of 1969. Black unemployment, second lowest ever in the history of the nation. Before this goes, this would go back to before 1969. I mean, it's unbelievable. Unemployment. 3.9%, wages going up 3% so far this year on an annualized basis, after a 14-year lull of ever even hinting or sniffing at 3% GDP growth. We have an opportunity, and all likelihood is that we will see 3% or better in GDP this year. 14 years. We haven't even gotten close enough to smell 3% GDP growth. Unbelievable. All he's got to do is be presidential, stay on task, remind people of how good things are going to be, good things are, and say, look, you don't have to vote for me, just vote for the economy. Would you vote for the economy? Would you vote for what you're feeling, seeing in your friends, relatives, friends, neighbors, and so on and so forth? Would you just vote? That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Stop the pettiness. Stop the tweeting. Stop. I mean, forget tweeting. I like the tweeting to the sense of at least he's able to get his point across when nobody else is talking about it to tens of millions of people. And I like that. And I think that's great. So he probably should keep it, but he's just got to pare it down. Keep it to, again, the same as his talking points. Keep it to the reality of what is happening in the economy. Keep it to the reality of what has happened since he's been president. Just keep it to that. That's all. That's all he's got to do. So easy. So let me think about this. I can just keep doing what I'm doing, or I can go down in history as probably one of the best presidents that ever. I mean, either way. I mean, look at it that way. I don't care which why you want to do it. Just need to do it. 844-707-5533. We're going to go to phones right after this. Hi, this is Dan Celia. I sure would appreciate it if you would consider partnering with me in the Ministry of Financial Issues. You'll have access to my stock picks that come out every Monday, along with my commentary. You'll get access to our conference call that I do with our partners once a month, our alert system, that I send out as often as necessary to tell you when to sell a stock, maybe give you some comfort during a volatile time, or maybe when to buy a particular stock. You'll get access to the asset allocation model, so you'll know how to manage the portfolio right for you, and much, much more. We sure would appreciate it if, in your stewardship, you would partner with Financial Issues. Go to financialissues.org, financialissues.org. Partner with us and support this ministry. It sure would be a blessing. Go to financialissues.org, financialissues.org, to support the ministry.
Listen, if you're not going to financialissues.org on a regular basis, I've got a reason why you need to go, at least now. Financialissues.org, Christian Community Credit Union, a Christian, biblically responsible credit union. Great loan rates, mortgage rates, great CD rates. Christian Community Credit Union. Go to financialissues.org. Click on the CCCU banner to start banking from a biblical perspective.
Morning, Dan. That news about Korea, that's just amazing.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's big. And you mentioned Mike Pompeo, and I just want to say there's two people I really trust, and one of them was my former congressman, Mike Pompeo, and the other, and of course, in Washington, and the other is you, with as I transform my portfolio over to the Dan plan.
Thank you so much. I'm so appreciative, and God bless you for what you do.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate you saying that. It looks like finally the markets are getting around to liking the numbers that we have been seeing, cutting their losses dramatically. NASDAQ up a half of 1%. That's a significant move. That's about a 1.5% swing on the NASDAQ. So pretty amazing swing right here on technologies. So that's good news. Okay, we're going to go to questions. Let me just go to this real quick. Somebody on Facebook asked me about a stock. You know, Ike is asking me about a particular stock, or I'm sorry, mutual fund for his grandson's account. Says that he's in a large mid-cap growth fund with Timothy, and returns have been disappointing this year. Could you recommend a better one? No, I would recommend, Ike, that you probably think twice before you invest at all. I really would, and I don't mean to sound – I mean, you really need to think about it. I mean, if you're going to look at a mutual fund and say it's down, first of all, every fund like that is down. So you're not alone. You know, you're not alone. But you don't have a 10-year time horizon, 8 to 10-year time horizon, obviously. So I wouldn't dare recommend anything else. I can't help you there. I would just get out. If you are concerned about that, I would get out and just, you know, maybe talk to somebody else and see what they might have. But I would just tell you to do that. You probably ought to think twice about investing. Folks, we need to understand what long-term investing is. If anybody out there thinks that they have a mutual fund that every single year and every month through that year, they're never going to have a dramatically down day or month or week or year. Man, you need to keep your money in CDs or whatever, because it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen with Timothy. It's not going to happen with Fidelity. It's not going to happen with any mutual fund company you want. And if you want to be biblically responsible, then you don't have a whole lot of choices. If you care more about the return than you do honoring God, then you have a lot more choices. But if you're not convicted about what long-term means and you're not convicted to be biblically responsible, then you got no shot of sleeping at night. And I don't want to mess up anybody's sleep, so I would leave you with nothing. I'm sorry about that, Ike. I just don't have anything that I would feel comfortable recommending. Regina is just saying good morning from Kentucky. dairy farmer. God love you, Regina. And I don't pray every day. I pray as the Lord calls them to mind, but I pray for our dairy farmers as he does call that to my mind or my what seems to be lengthier, longer and longer devotion time in the mornings. So I'm even up praying before you guys get up, and you guys get up about as early. I used to make a joke when people say, well, call me early. And I said, well, unless you're a dairy farmer, you don't want me calling you. And when I get up, but I get up even earlier than that. But I appreciate you, Regina. Hang in there, stay tough, and hope things will get better for you. I feel like they will. All right, let me go to Anna. Let me go to Anna in Tennessee. Hey, Anna.
Hey, Dan. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
I have a question. My husband is 64, just turned 64.
Okay.
On temporary disability with a hip.
Okay.
I have had neck surgery, so I've got neck issues. I'm almost 62.
Okay.
He has about $123,000 in a 401k.
Okay.
With Securian that is in target range.
Okay.
And we're needing to put that somewhere safe so he's not losing that amount.
Okay.
What would you recommend?
Yeah, the only thing that I would recommend is a CD, and I would probably do this. I would call Christian Community Credit Union, tell them you want 4 CDs, that you want a CD for 6 months, you want one for 12 months, you want one for 18 months, and you want a 2-year CD. So you're going to divide that money by 4, and you're going to put it in 4 IRA. These are IRA CDs because you don't want to have to pay tax on all that money.
Right.
And then every 6 months from here on in, one is going to come due. Every time it comes due, you roll it into another 2-year CD. You only, from here on in, you just roll over into a 2-year CD. And for as long as you have those CDs, every 6 months, one's going to come due and allow you to take advantage of rising CD rates on that 2-year CD.
Okay. We are blessed. Our home is paid for. We have a rental property that is bringing in $600 a month.
Mm-hmm.
I have some other land that I'm looking at selling. And I was going to put that money on the CDs like that, rolling every 6 months.
Okay.
What do you think of putting it in? What do you think of a bank mutual fund?
No. There are no bank mutual funds. They're saying that to you, but there aren't any. They're annuities. They're insurance annuities that the bank, the person sitting at the bank works for a life insurance company. They make it look like they work for the bank. They don't. The bank's getting a commission, and they're selling annuities. So, no, you told me you don't want risk, so that's why I said CDs. You have to keep it safe.
A little risk on some of it would be okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to take a little risk, I would do, something like a Ginnie Mae fund or, a mutual fund that is a government bond fund that may give you a little bit more return, have a little bit risk, or do a preferred stock that's going to pay you 5% and put it in a preferred stock, some of it in a preferred stock or 2 or 3 preferred stocks, and that would be fine. That'll give you minimal risk, but will give you a much better return.
Okay, could that be done through Securian, or would I need to do it somewhere else?
I'm not sure about Securian, whether you can do it through them. I think you can, but they might just do mutual funds. I'm not 100% sure. But I would, you can go to, just somewhere like E-Trade and open an account on E-Trade and, do it there. But I think that might be your other alternative.
Okay. What do you think about Servant Heart financial counselor?
Don't know.
Okay.
Yep, don't know. Listen, there's a lot of financial counselors that hold themselves out as they may be Christians themselves, but are doing unbiblical things with the money. And so you got to just be careful of that if you're trying to be biblically responsible.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much. I enjoy listening to your program.
You're welcome. Thank you, and I wish you all the best. Thank you, Anna. Let me go to Joseph in Indiana. Hey, Joseph.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Quick question. I'm a newer listener, so I don't know if you get this question a lot, so I apologize in advance.
Oh, no problem.
Me and my wife, we both work. We've been saving around 8% to 10%, depending on what we're pulling in that year, where the money's going specifically. And we're in our mid-20s. And so we just bought a house this summer.
Okay.
And I'm trying to understand with our extra income, so if I should be doubling down on the mortgage and trying to become debt-free in that way, or if I should be putting more towards retirement.
So do you have something at work, Joseph? A 401k or something like that?
Yeah, so I had a 401k. I'm actually a student again, so I rolled that all over to an IRA.
Okay.
And then my wife has a 403b. She's getting to the point where she's getting all the benefits, the matching and whatnot that she's able to get on that account or whatever they offer.
Okay.
And so that 7 to 10%, it probably really annually probably ends up around 8% that we're putting in.
Gotcha.
Every year.
Gotcha. Yeah, so here's what I would do. I mean, I would love to see you have a Roth IRA account.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you now have discretionary income of, you know, $800 a month.
Yeah.
I would put $400 towards your principal. The other $400 I'd put in your Roth IRA account. I mean, I think you need to split it. I think if you make two extra mortgage payments that go all to principal, you're cutting your 30-year mortgage down to about 13 years.
Okay.
And if you can make more than that, you're cutting it down, you know, even more. But I think if you can do a little bit of both, which it sounds like you can, but that's what I would rather you do. Because the greatest help would be if your mortgage were paid off right now because you're going to school, you know, but you're not going to be able to do that. So let's just say in 2-3 years, you're done school, maybe less. You're finished school and now you're getting back in, you know, in a bigger and better way and maybe into the workforce. You have plenty of time to pay that mortgage off. So I would just keep contributing to that Roth IRA account, and I think that that makes the most sense for you. That's good. At your age, if you do that now, you're going to have more money at retirement. You know what to do with. I hope.
Awesome.
I really do believe you will. I really do believe you will. And if you're doing the match on your wife's 403B, that's wonderful. And then, you know, this gives you opportunity to get biblically responsible with the monies that you're saving. I think it's great. I think you'll be in great shape.
Awesome. I appreciate the answer.
All right, Joseph. I wish you all the best. God bless.
You too.
Yep. Let me go to commercial. How about that? Let me go to a break. So we'll go to a break, and then we'll get back to phones. We've got lines open, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533, and we'll be right back after this. You know, it's been over a year since my wife and I decided we are getting off the government grid of healthcare, where government is being more and more intrusive in our healthcare and trying to control what doctors we go to and how much it's going to cost us and how much out of pocket and whether we can have a particular service a certain way or not. We decided we want to get back to the book of Acts. And we did that by going to Samaritan Ministry. SamaritanMinistries.org, a health sharing ministries that can save you money and allow you to take control with Christians sharing and other Christians' healthcare expenses. I hope that you'll consider Samaritan Ministries. SamaritanMinistries.org. Check them out and request a packet from SamaritanMinistries.org. You'll be amazed at how wonderful it is.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. Would you consider partnering with us in the ministry? Let me tell you what you'll get for a partnership with Financial Issues. You'll get access to my stock pick list that I put out every Monday. You'll also have access to your own asset allocation model. You'll get my email alert system that goes out on a weekly basis, sometimes twice or three times a week, that might alert you to something that's going on in the markets that could impact your portfolio, maybe a specific to sell a stock. By the way, everything I do is biblically responsible. When a stock, for some reason, takes a left turn, that company, and is no longer biblically responsible, I immediately issue an email alert telling you to sell it. You have access to our conference calls, our asset allocation model, and much more. Would you partner with us at financialissues.org? That's financialissues.org.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. You hear me talk every day about being biblically responsible. Folks, we cannot continue to support all the things that are responsible for eroding the moral fiber of our country. But more importantly, these are things that God detests, yet we invest in them. And that's why I love Timothy Plan so much, because there are mutual funds that do not invest money in those things. Would you support them? But more importantly, when you call them, would you thank them for supporting Financial Issues? You can call them to thank them at 800-846-7526. 800-846-7526. So, Ron, on Facebook, Ron, I would split it. I would like to see you move maybe, take a third of that anyway, sell it and put it into one of the other healthcare stocks. I think that I just want some diversification. I mean, look, I don't have a problem with that stock. I mean, it's going to be fine, but you know, everything's taking a little bit of a hit in that sector. It's probably going to continue throughout the rest of the year. But, hey, I would be okay doing that if you're okay with it. I don't know how old you are, but if you're a fairly young person under 50, I would do that. I think that would be a good idea. Carl, I would wait. Carl's asking about a TSP. I'm going to roll it over in about 3 years into Timothy. My wife and I, would it help if my wife and I became a partner, or should we wait until the TSP? I would wait. I wouldn't wait until after you retire. I would do it, 6 months or so before, just so you can start getting familiar with things and start thinking about getting that set up. So, but yeah, I think it's okay to wait right now. Thanks, Carl. Let me go to Anson, is it, in Texas?
Yes.
Hi, Anson. How are you?
I'm in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Oh, great. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have a grandson that just graduated from high school. We decided instead of giving him a graduation present, we would start a retirement account for him.
Okay.
He is in college now, and I think he's probably going to be good with that. Since he's 18, I don't want to give him total control with me not knowing what's going on. Is there some instrument I can use that I would have co-ownership? I'm thinking about $5,000 initially and then adding $100 a month for the next two or three years.
Yeah.
Roth, Timothy Mutual Fund, investment account.
Well, I think it would be great to start a Roth. Unfortunately, you can't do it with a co-ownership. Because it's you on any kind of qualified account, Roth, traditional, any kind of IRA account, there can only be one name on it. It can't you can't even put a spouse, you know, on that account. You can't have anybody else on it. So, unfortunately, it would have a Roth would be great, but you would have to put it in his name or put it in your name. But it would be difficult to transfer that over to him at some point in time.
Yeah.
So the other thing you could do is you could still open up an individual account. You could put that in both your names, or you could, you know, put it on only your name with him as a beneficiary. And that would be another thing you could do. I would like to see the Roth only because of the tax advantages.
Yeah.
So on an individual account, of course, you're giving that up. So
right.
If you sell something, you got to pay capital gains tax and, you know, all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would be ideal if you could do it in his name but have total control over it by way of you setting it up and getting it established in his name. If you can get his Social Security number and all that, you can probably get that done and, you know, have your address on it. So everything is, you know, done in the way that you see fit and want to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a tough one, though. But you want to get the tax benefit. I get where you're coming from. I think you're wise in that. But it's just hard. So, you know, you got to weigh the benefits of a Roth over the benefits of, you know, having that total control, which it would be an individual account.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, so you're welcome. I'm glad you called. I appreciate it.
All right. Be blessed.
Thank you. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Roger calling us from Washington State. Hey, Roger.
Hi, Dan. Hey, recently I had a charity give me a call, and they said I haven't been paying my monthly commitment, and I told them I had sent them a check from TD Ameritrade to cover me for the whole year. And anyway, they got back with me and said, yeah, they had received a check, but it didn't have any indication that it was for me. So that's one problem you could run into by sending the check right to them. I wonder if you could have the check made out to a charity but sent to you, and then you could send it on.
Yeah, that's not – I mean, this is part of your minimum required distribution, right?
Well, actually, I give a lot more because I'm over 71, so
– okay. Yeah, I mean, you can give up to $100,000, but it's part of that. You're over 71. Yeah, unfortunately, Roger, you can't have it made out to the charity and sent to you. That's just the IRS being a stickler for, you know, that going directly where it was intended to go from the fiduciary, from the custodian of the IRA account. So, but I would ask them about it because generally I know when oftentimes, so we have people that give to the ministry every year at the end of the year like that through us, and we'll get an account from their broker. We'll get a check from their brokerage. And sometimes we'll have a name and sometimes we won't. And when we don't, we usually ask the people, would you please notify the charity to start doing that from now on? Because generally when people do it, they notify us. They'll email us and say, you know, we're sending you X amount of dollars. You're going to be getting a check from our IRA account. So that helps me because at least I know where it's coming from. But I usually tell them, look, you need to have, if I get the check and it doesn't have their name on it, I tell them, you need to call them and say, you know, who it's from. Some brokers do it automatically, and some you just have to tell them to do it. I mean, you know, it's – but, yeah, I would not take the risk of it going directly to you because the IRS could consider that a – you know, that's not the address of residence of the charity, and they could have a problem with it, and they might look at that as you taking possession of the money.
Okay, they might think it's fraud, in other words.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And it would be a problem.
Well, thank you very much, Dan, and I would like to also say that you have the best credibility of any talk show host because you believe in what you're saying all the time.
Oh, well, thank you, Roger. What a blessing. I hope you're right about that. I hope other people think that. I sure try. I know that. Thank you, Roger. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. To Roger's point, folks, if I don't believe it, I don't say it. Or if I don't vet it out, I don't say it. If I don't, you know, understand fully what it's about, you know. I mean, every once in a while, somebody will ask me a question. I'll say, I don't know. You know, I don't know them, or I don't know the answer to that. I was sharing that with Craig Haggard, our commodities reporter. I said, somebody called me once and asked me about a particular thing, and they said, you know, what does all that mean? And I said, I have no idea, you know, because I didn't. It was something that he had said, reported, and somebody asked me about it. I didn't really know what it meant. So, but I appreciate that. That is a really, really a blessing. There's a, I just really appreciate it. Let me go to Joe. Joe's calling us from Illinois. Hey, Joe. Joe?
Dan?
Oh, is it John?
Dan, it's John Shepard. Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The first stock that I talked to the call screener about, I already own some of that, and I noticed that it's dropped down. Is that stock still okay to buy into?
I don't know what stock. I don't know what stock you mean. Did you do it on Facebook?
No, sir.
Oh, she didn't write what stock, did she? Let me think. Oh, I see it. Okay. Man, I am all messed up here. My eyes are getting crossed, I think.
That's all right.
So you want to know whether it's okay to continue to buy into it?
Yes, sir.
You're an income investor?
No, sir. It's just part of the portfolio that we're in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think it's okay if you are continuing to buy into it when it's down off of your original basis, which you're probably doing. I think it's okay. I think it's okay. But either one of those stocks.
Okay. And the second one on TD Ameritrade, that's saying that is a consumer staple.
Correct.
But you have it on your list is a commodity.
Yeah,
if I've seen it right.
Yeah, you're right. I do list it as a commodity. It is listed as a consumer staple. It is a consumer staple. I use it as a commodity play because it's very dependent upon the commodities. So I know it's confusing. I have a couple other things that I list differently than what maybe some of your brokers might list it.
I thought you did, but and for our age bracket, we're not supposed to have any commodities. But
it's fine.
Okay,
yeah, it is perfectly fine as a consumer staple.
All right, because it's paying a good percentage on there, a fair. It's actually good, but we appreciate everything you're doing, Dan, and we appreciate the effort that you're putting in and for helping us, because you've helped me a great deal over the years, and I do greatly appreciate it, and I know the wife does too. So thank you, and have a blessed weekend.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you for blessing me as we head into the weekend. I sure do appreciate that, and that encouragement is. It's just good. It's just good to hear every once in a while. I sure do appreciate it. God bless you.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. Like every ministry, we need to raise support to continue in the work that the Lord has for us to do. One of the ways that we do that is we ask you to help support the ministry by becoming a partner with us in the ministry. What you get for that partnership is access to our investment strategies. You'll get access to our asset allocation models, my stock picks that come out every Monday, our email alerts that may tell you when to buy or sell, or maybe give you comfort during a volatile time. It is an incredible value for $85 a year, and you get to support the ministry. It sure would be a blessing to us. Would you consider supporting Financial Issues and be a partner? I guarantee it'll be the best investment you ever make. Go to financialissues.org, financialissues.org to support the ministry. I sure would appreciate it. Reborn.org is one of the greatest ministries, I believe, that is saving the lives of babies, the unborn. Would you go to preborn.org right now? Consider $140 will allow five young mothers to hear the heartbeat of their baby, changing their mind to choose life over abortion. Preborn.org. Preborn.org. Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. I hope that you will consider partnering with Financial Issues. One of the things that you're going to get from that is access to our buy list, access to our sell list. You're going to become educated about the economy and see testimonies from people just like you. I hope you'll consider going to financialissues.org, partnering with this ministry. That's financialissues.org.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. We're going to go right back to phones, 844-707-5533, short segment, as we head into the weekend. Let me just take a quick look at the markets on this September 7th. And we really had a rough start today. All great economic news. Of course, the markets don't care about that. We don't care about economic news. As a matter of fact, as I talked about it earlier and I wrote about today, I don't know where it'll be published. It'll definitely be in my newsletter. But I wrote an article, and it's headlined, "The Left, Desperation, Desperado, or Both?" Because they're going nuts right now. And today is another reason why they're going nuts. Nothing but good, good economic data. It's great stuff. All right, let me go to Joe. Joe from Illinois. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Dan. Good to talk to you again. I talked to you last Friday.
Great.
About an inherited IRA account.
Okay.
And we're opening that up through Timothy. And Timothy said they could tell us, you know, what's going on with it, but not really how. They won't tell us how to invest it.
It's okay.
$54,000, roughly.
How much?
$54,000.
Okay.
How would we invest that into that account?
And how old are you guys?
We are 57.
And I assume you're taking minimum required distributions?
Yes.
Okay. So,
well, we're just getting it, so yeah, it was her father's, and
right,
it's referring to her.
Okay. So here's the problem with it. We can't be too aggressive, like I might like to be, for a 50-year-old or a 55-year-old, because there's money that's going to come out every year that minimum required distribution is going to come out. So what I would suggest is, whatever the minimum required distribution is going to be, and for all practical purpose, I think we'd be safe saying it's going to be, we'll just pick a number of $7,000.
I think we were looking at should be around 2,000 something, but
yeah, right, right. So I'm just thinking if we could take $5,000-$7,000 and keep it somewhere, either in the money market account, a money market account of Timothy. Or I suppose we could do the fixed income because that still has some risk of going down. That would cover 3 years of minimum required distributions. Now, the reason why I would do that is it allows you to be a lot more aggressive with the balance of the money, where I wouldn't want to be aggressive with all the money, and then you have to sell something in order to make the minimum required distribution. And when you go to sell it, it might be down, whatever you're selling, and now you're forced to sell something that's down.
Okay.
So that's why I say to do that. Obviously, this money's not going to – I'm just trying to stretch it out. You know, it's hard. This is what this is the exact reason why I beg people all the time to get rid of their IRA money before they're gone, because the last thing you want to do is leave it to your children. It's just it never works out well for your children, because they're a lot of times they could be in the situation you're in, where you're still young and you don't get the advantage of the money when you would like to get advantage of the money, and that would be when you retire. So you're not able to do that. Now, so that stretches it out and allows you to be a little more aggressive. Before I tell you what I think you ought to do with it, where you ought to put it, the other thing is that you could elect to say, you know what, let's just bite the bullet and pay our tax on it. So you withdraw it, and I don't know what kind of tax brackets you're in, all that kind of stuff, but you pay the tax on it, and you end up paying, I'm making this number up, $7,000, probably less than that, in taxes. And so that's gone because you got to pay the tax. And now you can take that money that's left, put it in an investment account, be fairly aggressive with it, and forget about it until you're 65. It's probably going to end up being back up to $54,000, $55,000, more than that probably. And, you know, you'll be able to keep it and grow it for as long as you want.
Okay.
So if it were me, that's what I would do. I mean, okay. I would bite the bullet and pay the tax and say, you know what? I want to have this money. I want this money when I'm 70. I don't need it now. I hate taking it now, but I would love to have it around as a little bit of a nest egg for someday when I'm, you know, when I'm older, and let it grow right now until then. So okay. That's another option. Timothy's probably not going to tell you to do that, and nobody else is probably going to tell you to do that. But
so do we need to open the inherited IRA account?
No.
And then-
No.
So don't do that.
You don't need to do it. You can just surrender it and pay the taxes on it.
So we can do that through the bank that has them now?
Correct.
Okay, great.
And then once you get it, you can decide what you want to do. You can even put it in an existing account you have. Maybe you already have an investment account or something. Maybe you have a couple Roth IRA accounts or 401, you know, other IRA accounts of yours. You can max them out, you know, put it into that to those.
Okay, well, we're maxing out both Roths at this point.
Okay, okay.
We're going. Well, my other question was where to open the Roth for my wife. Where would I open that through, and how to invest that?
Where's your Roth?
My Roth is through work.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. So I would invest it. I would open a Roth up at a brokerage. You know, because I think that allows you to do a couple of Timothy funds that I would like you to do, like maybe 10% or a little bit, 5% in an emerging market, 5% in their small cap, 5% in Israel fund. That would give you a great aggressive place to put 15% of the money. And then the rest of it, you could put in some good solid individual stocks and forget about them.
Okay. And what would be the good solid individual?
Well, I would have to think about it when you're ready to do it. I mean, what I would tell you today may be totally different than a month from now.
Okay.
All right. So
at this point, just close them out, pay the tax, get the money, and then open it, put it into an account.
Yeah, that way you're free to do whatever you want with it and let it grow.
Okay. And right now we want to put it into an investment account?
Yeah. Yeah. No, not if your wife doesn't have an IRA account. So I would do an IRA account for her with, I would consider doing a $13,000. So I would do $6,500 in it this year, you know, get it done before the end of the year, do $6,500 in, is she over 50?
Yeah, she's 50.
So $6,500 this year, and then January 1st, I'd put another $5,500 in it, and then invest that in the Roth IRA at wherever you set this account up. And then the rest of it, I'd put in an investment account at the same place, but not in the same thing.
We'll be able to max that Roth out without using that money. So.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Yeah. So that's what I would do, and I think that would be great.
So then put it in an investment account.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And then when I get that done, then you can help me how to invest it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to put it in an investment account that's not Timothy, you know, unless you want to put it in mutual funds where you can just forget about it. But if you're going to make ongoing contributions with it, it would be fine to do it all with Timothy and be fairly aggressive. But an investment account might be a good idea for you to give you some exposure to individual stocks and start learning a little bit about how to track along with that.
Okay, because we're going to have some more money here soon, you know, to figure out what to do with to invest that way too.
Okay, great. So this is that would be great. And you can even, I mean, I have an investment account asset allocation model for your age group on our website, and that would be great to just track with that.
Okay, I'm going to start that, and I appreciate everything you do, Dan. You're a good man. God bless you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
Yep. Good stuff. We're coming up to the end of the program, folks. We'll be back to Monday, obviously. We hope you'll be with us. I think it's going to be a pretty interesting week next week. There's a lot going on. Every single week between now and November is going to be pretty interesting. That is for sure. Vivian is asking me, what symbol should I use on the portfolio tracker? There is no symbols for the G Fund. G Fund is closed account. They're proprietary funds. So unfortunately, Vivian, you can't use the tracker for that because you can't, or any other brokerage to try to track that. They're proprietary to the federal government. So there's nowhere to draw the information from because they don't allow it. So unfortunately, you're not going to be able to do that. Is it still okay to buy TM1? Is it on my buy list? If it's on my buy list, yes. If it isn't, no. So if you already own it and you're adding to it, then I think it's fine, Jason. But if not, and it's not on my buy list, which I don't know whether it is or not, then no. If it's not on my buy list, again, I go back. I wouldn't do it. Is it wise to pay extra payment towards your home mortgage if you won't be in the for the duration of the? No. If you think you're going to sell your home in 5 years, 10 years, you know this isn't going to be the home. No, I wouldn't put any money towards your mortgage unless it's burdensome and you're trying to get it paid off before that, or unless you're using it as a source of building up equity in the sense that when you do sell, you're going to get more money out of it and kind of use it as a savings account. But I wouldn't do that either. So, no, I wouldn't do that. Folks, I sure appreciate all of you being with us. Remember, all that you have is his. Let's be found a good and faithful steward. Have a great day of worship on Sunday. Great weekend. God bless. We'll see you on Monday.
Thank you for joining us. This is